happened that in Orot today, I was invited to speak in a history class talking about modern Jewish history. And the topic of the discussion was the split between, the topic of the discussion was what does it mean to be modern Orthodox? But that kind of morphed into relationships between different denominations of Jewish groups, especially in America. And is it good or not good to interact with different religious denominations in the United States? Thank you. And I without a doubt, have been quite colored. I'm colored by my education, by my upbringing, but I'm also colored by my experience. And this is actually is a matter of ongoing debate, even in YU, especially only in YU circles today. Meaning outside of yeshiva university circles, the answer is always unequivocally no. Meaning, of course you have to deal with non-religious Jews, but the question is to deal with them as conservative Jews, as reformed Jews in different denominations. So in yeshiva university, there's something of a debate where I would say the more right-leaning students would take a more hard line and say, no, that interaction is acceptance and acquiescence, and if we interact with them and you sit on the same board, et cetera, then in general you're giving approval or you're somehow okaying the way that they are. Whereas my experience really told me, whereas there's a very famous article by Rav Soloveitchik in which they asked him this question, and now there's a big debate about what he meant, but he seemed to say... He seemed to say that official interaction is inappropriate, meaning official interaction on a religious level is inappropriate, but it's very well known to me that Rav Soloveitchik also had interaction with other clergy of other denominations on a personal level. So when I was in Detroit, so I was invited by the Michigan Board of Rabbis to join their group, and I wasn't really sure what to do. So I went to the meetings. I knew my predecessor had gone to the meetings and participated, but he never actually officially joined. So he tried to find a middle ground where he could participate and be engaged, but not officially join. And I went to the meetings and whatever. Then I went to my first Vad HaRabbanim meeting. And at the Vada Rabbani meeting, one of my dear esteemed colleagues, who I really actually do respect quite a bit, took me aside and said, you know, the Vada has an unofficial policy that anyone who sits on the Michigan Board of Rabbis can't actually be a member of the Vada. And I said, oh, really? That's really funny to me because I don't notice anybody telling any Chabad rabbi what they can and can't believe in order to be a member of the Vada. And I won't have anybody telling me what I can and can't believe in order to be a member of the Vada either. And the next day I sent in my check, my $45, to the Michigan Board of Rabbis and officially joined. I experienced, to me, bore out that rabbis, conservative official and reformed clergy could care less, really, about my approval, meaning they're not going around saying, oh, the Orthodox now accept me because Reuven Spalter is now on the Board of Rabbis. But I was able to, I think, engage in many communal issues and deal with many people that I would not otherwise have been able to had I not participated on an official level. And so I think my experience kind of colors it. I never engaged in religious debate. I was actually quite careful about it. And when things made me uncomfortable, I was unafraid to say so. But nonetheless, this idea of interaction is very different than accepting. We don't have that here, but I think this continues to be an issue of debate. And I think that the issues, especially in America, are much, much more pressing. And the reason I'm giving this whole hakdama is because, right, from my perspective, the most dangerous thing to the Jewish community, to Judaism in the world today, is intermarriage and assimilation. Mm-hmm. By far. I mean, maybe Iran is also equally dangerous, but in a very different way. But just rampant assimilation.
Yeah, but all of those non-religious rabbis promote assimilation.
Oh, I disagree.
How are the reform rabbis? Do you hear that?
I think they're doing a terrible job. But the decline of conservative and reform Judaism isn't good for Judaism. It just means that the assimilation and intermarriage will happen faster. You understand what I'm saying? So any connection that you can use to connect true Jews to traditional Judaism or to real Judaism in any way, shape, or form, I think is going to be beneficial.
Based on, not this is like the ultimate truth.
So you went on Federation stuff, didn't you, when you were in Detroit? You were in that big Federation group, that really cool group up from, where you didn't go? They went to like Prague and then Israel and then they ran out of money? No?
Sorry. Yeah, money from the Federation.
Yeah, I remember. You were going to say?
I mean, according to, again, this is not Torah Sinai, but just happened to have discussed this recently, according to like the Rav Nachman stuff that we were learning the other week, mm-hmm. he basically considers this philosophy like the Rav Klipa, like the evil in the world is this sort of like convincing you to think about Torah in a not authentic way. Maybe I'm not saying it correctly.
I said this?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be accused of being representative of the class. If he's trying to quote a teacher of the class of Rav Nachman, we have on Shabbos, but okay. I would never interpret. I couldn't. He might hear better than I don't listen well enough to try to extrapolate this topic. But you know, the thing they also inform when you go to like places in Arizona, you go to inform day camp if the kids have a Jewish last name. You know, they're not Jewish. The last
right.
name is Connor or something.
It's true.
They might be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so when you're talking about
that's without a doubt true.
Greatest problem.
But a kid in the Reform Gay camp might be Jewish, whereas the kid in the other camp for sure is not Jewish.
Yeah.
Oh. You know?
I mean, but like in America, in Israel, for example, there basically is very little. It's a minimal. The Reform and conservative, whatever, is just,
correct.
I mean, it almost doesn't exist.
Right. No matter what people say, Kevin.
And like, as a consequence, like when Israelis think of like because this totally for me. Like I have this guy who can't cut my hair in Gadara.
Okay.
It's better than a woman cutting my hair.
Anyway, not cheaper. Go ahead.
And he's obviously not religious. I mean, you know, he doesn't wear a kippah or whatever. And then one day I walk into like the barbershop and I see he has a big black kippah on and he's all of a sudden has like this beard.
Can you just quickly close the Arabic chuba?
So I'm like thinking to myself like, close the Arabic chuba? Like what
is his brother?
Maybe he was undercover before.
No. So yeah. He lost his father and this you know, Sfarim were very careful that, you know, the first Shloshim, they actually wear a kippah, they go to shul, they put on tefillin, and now he's back to the same role. I mean, I don't know what he does or doesn't do, I'm not looking in his kitchen or whatever. But the idea is, among Israelis, that if you're going to do something religious, and whether you believe or don't believe, it's like the real deal. Instead of like, you know, the bat mitzvah candlelighting ceremony.
I totally agree with you. My issue is not to chas v'shalom encourage reform, the growth of reform Judaism in Israel. My question is, how do we relate to, how do we interact with, what's our connection to? Now, you would say, oh, of course we should engage reform Jews, but not reform Judaism. But I think that's naive.
Why?
Because you're not going to get there. No one's going to invite you. No one wants to have anything to do with you. That's the bottom line. And if you do recognize them and acknowledge them, and you will.
But like Riv Adim invites like Rav Hadaya to like give shiurim there.
Riv Adim, this is not reform. This is not America. Bottom line. You know what I'm saying?
But like, would that ever like would like Beth Shalom ever invite like some?
Temple Emmanuel invited me once.
I forget what that was, but
the one down the block. We had a really interesting discussion. I think I won, but okay. You know, they invited me for like a differing perspectives on Judaism. Did anybody become firm? I was able to soften their stance.
Do you see there's a problem with anybody
I
think
as well? I won.
What?
That's really sad.
What do you mean?
Sorry. I think I won. I mean, you've got the right on your side. You've got the truth.
Whether they
think you won?
Well, whether they agreed with me or not, I don't know.
I think the problem from an Israeli perspective, those that, let's say, Aaron's haircutter. He decided he had to keep everything going all like, further to the right, and is there like a lack of a viewpoint of centrist Yahud or central Dati Lumi?
Oh, interesting From that biblical amica, you mean, because of that?
Well, the people I think he's like all of a sudden dismissing the Medina. I mean, he's just
not necessarily. I'm saying those people that do.
No, I don't.
Way further to the right.
That's a totally different question, which is why aren't we successful at being Makariv people when Haredim are far more successful? What's more appealing about Rav Nachman than modern Orthodoxy? Okay. Nonetheless, why do I raise this? This is not unrelated to our discussion. We're now on Ayin Chet. Page Ayin Chet. And Rav Nachman was obviously talking about this idea of trying to remain connected, trying to remain attached to non-religious Judaism. Now, he was obviously not talking about denominations. I don't want to confuse him and say that he was talking about reform. He would agree with me. But the basis for the discussion is still the same. How do we relate? How do we interact with non-religious Jews? Do we reject them? Or do we try to connect to them? Do we accept them? Do we embrace them? And remember that Judaism, that Orthodoxy, throughout much of Orthodoxy, it was widely accepted dogma that non-religious Jews were to be utterly rejected, shunned because they were considered a danger, a spiritual danger, and then the antithesis of what religious Judaism was all about. So Rav Techel is now doing an incredible 180, totally changed his mind and about many things. So it's just fascinating that in addition to changing his mind about building the land of Israel, he also changed his mind about loving people who are not religious. Now, it is fascinating in a way. In another way, it has to go hand in hand. Why does it have to go hand in hand? Right. How can I love something and build an army with other people if I hate non-religious people and everything that they do? So in a sense, I have to love Israel. If I want to love Israel, I have to love the people that built it. Derek Agav, did you all see the newspaper about the visitors to Tehran this morning?
The what?
Tehran. YNET reported in some of the Turi Kwakata guys were in this anti-terrorism conference in Iran this week. Over Shabbos, actually. That's good. You didn't see it? Yeah. We're all familiar with our friends in the Turi Kwakata, all six of them.
Six of them?
Wait. Where does that come from? The answer is their attitude was really the prevalent attitude at the turn of the century. Throughout much of the beginning part of the 20th century, you know, Israel and the Zionists were a treif. It was a satan. So just understand that these guys, as much as we think they are, that was the prevailing attitude for most Jews. And what they say, maybe rightfully so, I mean, I don't think rightfully so, what they say is, we didn't change. Everybody else changed. We've been right all along. They're sticking to their guns.
The difference between Reformed Judaism and Chilumim.
Yeah.
As it's preached or the Amcha?
No, there's an institution that is trying to do things in an inauthentic manner, which I think you say.
Right.
And the others are, you know, they've just chosen their individual lives. Correct. They're not trying to change anything.
Correct. It's like the firm guy who steals on his taxes.
Totally different. The firm guy who steals on his taxes knows he's doing something wrong. He didn't create a religion where that justifies...
Like you said, like, do the Chilonim know that they don't know that Shabbos? They don't know that, like, that on Shabbos you don't get on the bus?
I told you, I struggle with this. Anyway, I want to be clear. I do not support Reform Judaism in any way. But if I refuse to interact with them, am I helping anybody? By sticking to my guns and making my point, what am I accomplishing?
If you interact with them, aren't you in some way giving them legitimacy?
No.
You go to a bar mitzvah and reform shul.
What?
I was told a couple times.
Reform shul.
No.
If your best friend's son is having a bar mitzvah, you go there. And, I mean, I was told, it wasn't relevant to me, but if you had a choice between going to a shul and a conservative shul, staying home and dining by yourself, you should certainly stay at home and daven by yourself.
Of course. Okay. That's davening. I think you should daven.
You go to a bar mitzvah?
Would I daven at home and then attend the bar mitzvah?
Yes.
Probably.
They don't think you're davening.
What?
They will think you're davening.
Why would they think I'm davening?
Because you're going to
eat. No one there is davening.
You don't put a talis on. You know, whatever. So you don't put a talis on.
It's okay.
I'm asking. Put a talis on or open a talis
on? Okay. Plenty of people go and don't daven.
Really? This whole Indian of Marat Ayin that goes to the nth degree. I would think you'd daven.
No, and?
I would go and I would daven.
I for sure, you would daven. Oh, I for sure wouldn't daven.
I have two uncles that are conservative rabbis. One of them is very well known.
You daven there?
Polarizing.
And you daven there?
Yeah.
Right, you go?
I've been many years ago. I would walk into the shul. Actually, I think at the last bar mitzvah, we decided that we weren't going to go into the shul. We're just going to
not into the sanctuary.
Not into the sanctuary, right?
See how tough these questions are?
It's very tough. Yeah. We're not going to the sanctuary, but we would like be in the social hall and like be friendly with the family. It was very, very challenging.
It's tough issues. Nonetheless, what are you grappling with? You're grappling with, on the one hand, I don't want to give the impression that I approve, but on the other hand, what's the other side?
I don't want to create the environment.
That's right. Or say in a positive way.
I want to, but it's more of like, the only reason
I want to build bridges with my cousins. I don't want them to think that I'm such a raving lunatic. Then when the time comes that they're thinking
about, though.
What?
It's more of out of cover of like the rest, like my grandparents, like my parents. That's really the only reason though.
Okay, I think that there's much more to, I mean, for us now, here, not so much so, but there's a lot to be lost. Tremendous amount to be lost by cutting ties.
It's not cutting ties. There are a lot of different ways of creating bridges with people without involving the synagogue and the ritualistic service of it. In other words,
how about the clergy?
What?
The clergy.
Like, you can be friendly with the clergy. You can, you know, have a Yom HaTzma'ut parade and play softball with them and, you know, and shoot the breeze with them. They don't have to be, you know, pariahs. But that's different than going into the synagogue and, you know, having an inter-something service of some sort.
Totally agree. I didn't do any of that either. But what about sitting on a board where you talk about, you know, like Jewish security issues? Or
it's a big problem because their worldview is so warped that it's
and how are they ever going to take into account your point of view if nobody ever goes and tells it to them?
I don't think you're going to change. It's like,
how would you know? You never did it. I did it.
I've been there.
Did you call a female rabbi of the gay congregation rabbi?
What?
Did you call a female rabbi from the gay congregation rabbi?
Of course. Actually, the gay congregation, it was a gay rabbi that was male.
Male rabbi.
It was male.
What
does it bother me? He calls himself rabbi. What do I care?
I don't know. Do you demean the idea? We had on college campus at Boston University, we had a from rabbi and a rabbit, or whatever you call it, like a female rabbi.
And you think by saying that in front of some girl, you're going to be Makari of her?
What?
You think that when she hears you call her rabbi a rabbit, you think that she's going to be...
Rabbi, whatever it's called, the female word for rabbi.
No, he knows what he said. He knew exactly what he said. You think that that's going to make her want to come closer to Judaism?
As opposed to treating her with respect? We had an Orthodox and a conservative and a reform like student group. And we had a committee.
I can't believe I'm the most liberal here.
We had a representative of each of the groups. And we had a representative of each of the groups. It was like a tri-denominational council.
Yeah.
And we met. It was like...
You were not the idea. Okay.
It wasn't nauseated. It was just useless. It was just like, you know.
Really?
They wanted to have like a simple Torah. They wanted to like have like.
Are you telling me you had no interaction that was any at all productive? It was only a religious interaction?
No, the only interaction that was productive was that we were a more dominant group, the Orthodox group, and so there were a bunch of kids that were Makarev because their group was.
Did he just not make my point? Did he just not prove my point? Like beautifully? Okay, let's go on.
Organized 250 student conferences regularly with 250 students.
Perfectly, you made my point.
So there are people actually that came to this yeshiva from those conferences who had no keshe with Judaism, nothing. They thought Reform Judaism was the only form of Judaism existent, and then they saw these strange people that they'd been told threw stones, but actually they were totally normal.
That have horns.
They learned because they were bright. Their derech was different. I have a separate show. In the Torah Karta, what's the justification for killing Jewish people?
Well, it's. I mean, for rain?
In Torah Karta, were.
No, they don't want killing of Jewish people. They don't believe in the state of Israel. They think the state of Israel is a manifestation of the Satan.
Right, but there are from Jews living in Israel, and they're advocating the destruction of state. Israel.
I would like to exert zero energy attempting to defend these people.
No, I'm not trying to.
Why are you interested in Nikurei Karta if you're so interested in Reform Jews?
Because I think they're machal Hashem Shemayim for Hesia, and I think they're all going to hell.
What about the people that are, you know, ordaining lesbian rabbis? They're not being Michal Shem Shemayim before Hesia.
They're not doing it in the name of the Torah. Al Kopanim Zeborah, let's go on. Sheshum Echad Mi Yisrael, Afilo Yoter Geruah. No Jew, even the worst ones, Ayin Zayin, Ayin Chet. Lo yidach beit hagula. When the Mashiach comes, he will not be pushed off. V'yashuvu kulam migvulam, will return to their land, to their borders. V'Hashem yidbarach yikablim be'ahava v'chiba. Because Baruch Hu will accept them with love. V'kvar ya bimei Ezra v'chtiv. In the times of Ezra, it says the following. Habaim mehashvi b'nei hagula. Hikruvu olot v'lokei Yisrael parim shnei masar. Those people who returned, they brought olot. Ayin behoriot u'betmura. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Why they bring these korbanot? They brought them on the avodah zara that they did in times of tzidkiyah. The part of the Gemara, hamizidin hayu. How could you do a korban? Remember, when are you allowed to bring a korban? It's an important rule. The only time you can bring a korban, a sacrifice, is if you do an avera b'shogeg, by accident. If you don't do an avera b'mezid, there's no kapara from a korban. Right? If you do an avera b'mezid, what do you get?
Depends.
No, not curry, usually.
Lashes.
No, they'll kill you. They'll kill you. What if they didn't catch you? Yeah, God will get you. Okay. But you can't bring a korban. A korban doesn't make a kapara. Skip the parentheses. Upirish Rashi, Shedorosh of Tzidkiyahu, Mizidin Hayu. Rashi says that the generation of Tzidkiyahu violated Avodah Zarah intentionally. Ubnei Katala Ninhu, they were obligated with death. Velo Bnei Korban Ninhu. And if they were not people of korbanot, how could the korbanot offer them kapara? Umetaretet haGemara. The Gemara says horat sha'a haita. What's horat sha'a? It was a temporary decision. It was a necessary decision for the time. Upirush Rashi says avagav that yumezidin ayumin chaprin. Meaning, for whatever reason, even though halachically they did not deserve to be forgiven through a korban for what they did, God forgave them. It was like, you know what?
Pass.
Right. Good. Well said. You're passed. Midrashim or Agola Pirushi says, Altir Shatas, Teharashaita Haita Bazilashono, Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. It was above and beyond the call of duty, you would say. Minir Lidi Hukanog, Biyom Simcha Lamelech, Lechalek, Enmestian. Enmestian? You heard of that?
Amnesty.
Right? The king on his birthday gives that amnesty. La Obe Avera. Right, all the midot that we got from kings, right, came from Kedusha. They also stole this from us, those non-Jews. They got that idea of giving out amnesty to people who commit sins from God. When they came back in the time of Ezra, they really should have all died. Why? Because they all worshipped idolatry. Nah, I'll give you all a break. Why? So what's he saying? Take the worst possible sin you could do. Right? Worship idols on purpose. B'mezid. And so, God said, I'll never forgive you for that. No matter how bad you are, I can kill you. But these people did it, and they brought a korban. You know what God said? Come on back. I'll accept you. It's all good. Why?
God loves you.
Pacha. Right. So he's saying, his implication is, how bad could
this... something amazing if you did shuva.
What?
If you did shuva.
Yeah.
Properly.
Yeah.
Can't you still...
There are some sins, says the Rambam.
Yeah.
Right? That if you do it, that you must die in order to be mikaper. Right. Yes, you can do tshuva, but your tshuva, your repentance, does not achieve kapara until you have fulfilled the proper requirements. Some is tshuva alone, some is tshuva plus yisurin, some is tshuva plus
death.
Okay, stay away from those. Okay, akopani minchara. You see from this, shafilu leelu akufrim agmurim. Even those people who totally reject, like. What? Who are the Kofrim Gemurim? Who's he talking about, really? Who are the people who completely reject? Who's the subtext of this whole discussion?
The Chilonim, the
builders. Correct. They were clearly Kofrim Gemurim. How do we know they're Kofrim Gemurim?
Because they were happy about it.
They said so. We don't believe in God. They said, pretty much, explicitly, we don't believe in God. They were Kofrim Gemurim. Except the people that were.
Cooks on.
Not Rabbi.
I know, but he says the opposite of those kind of person. They're a lot stronger, especially if they acknowledge and then start trying to say they don't believe and whatever. It shows they have a much stronger kesher.
They're not
someone,
To the best of my knowledge, Rabbi Cook would say that their desire to build up Eretz Yisrael is the manifestation of their Kedusha that's somehow finding its way, not through religious means, but through national means. That's the best of my understanding.
But I'm talking about aesthetic. Atheist versus agnostic.
Ah.
Yeah, I remember I don't remember it strongly enough to be able to categorically say, but I remember enough that there was an understanding.
I think there were a lot of really, really secular, I mean, communists, socialists.
Right.
You know, we forget. I'm reading this book called The Prime Ministers. Anybody read that book?
No. Eric
Bader, me?
What? You've told us about it.
I've told you about it? Mm-hmm. Sick. Crazy stuff. This guy was into unbelievable. But, like, it was built by socialists, a bunch of socialists. It was unclear that at some point whether Israel was going to align itself with the United States or the Soviet Union.
Right. Communism.
Right. Right.
Jews were communists.
Socialists. I mean, think about the whole kibbutz movement, you know, and think about our health care. It's all based on...
Foolish.
Socialism.
Oh, it's a good thing back then.
It works for the country. It just doesn't work for you. No, it's another discussion entirely. Okay.
It does not work for the country.
She'en lecha davar yoter chamur mizeh. Why don't you just let us be happy in our blindness, okay? There's nothing worse than this. Believe me, it's like somebody said to me today, if you knew about what goes on in any restaurant, you wouldn't eat there either, right?
So,
huh? Do you really want to know? You want to go into the back of every restaurant and find out? Kashrut-wise, health-wise, do you want to know?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean before you walk into a restaurant, you go to the back of the kitchen?
Spitting in the food?
You think you walk in the restaurant, you go to the back of the kitchen first? See who's making it and what the cleanliness is like?
I don't do that, but I assume that somebody does.
Okay, then. Really?
Did you have any of the cake tonight?
I'm still there.
Okay. God did not push them off from the rejoicing of the Geula. Biglakein baruli. It's clear to me at the bottom of Ayin Chet. Gam ata be'ech niske l'geula b'mheira b'yameinu amein. You know, he always adds that in when he says the geula, right? When we will merit the geula, bevadai lo titche shum nefesh miYisrael. Not one soul will be pushed off. Hafilu min ha'poshim v'hamoredim hayoter gedolim simizmaneinu. Even like the worst of the worst.
Let them play in the band.
They will, no, they will be forgiven. What's going to happen is they're going to see the error of their ways. They're going to do tshuva, and what God is going to say is, no problem. You're in. Okay. Magam shebiyameinu kimat.
Because they'll want.
Magam shebiyameinu. I think that's what he believed. Yes, I do think.
Because they'll want.
They'll want. Kimat einam nimzeim ke'elu she'ayu bebechinat yodim et ribonam u'mechavnim nimrobo. There is no one who knew their ribonam, their creator, and wanted to rebel against him. Chas v'shalom. Rakema kentinok. She repeats this again. Kentinok shenishba bein ha'akum. If you weren't raised in Ruach HaTorah, v'heima anusim al hakol. Oh, I have to go back. Now you got me. Like, according to this logic, anyone who is raised not religious, right? He himself is a tinek shenishba and is not responsible for his behavior. Correct?
Correct.
Wouldn't that also include the vast majority of Reformed conservative clergy?
Some.
Oh.
No.
What are you talking about? You know any reform clergy person that was raised from?
Yes.
Okay. Aside from him or her, or one of them.
There's quite a few, but there's not a lot.
Raised religious?
People went to YU and got more money going to conservative school. They couldn't find a congregation. This was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that.
I'm talking about that.
That's not
talking
about that. But it's still vast. The majority of the reform movements are... they don't know the letter.
They don't.
They literally been picked up by any parent, and that's what's important.
That's
They've
right.
They had the six-week...
they went to camp. They loved it. They said, I want to be a rabbi.
6-week kumbaya.
I'm telling you. So aren't those people also tainted nishba?
For sure.
So therefore, shouldn't we interact with them too?
No one says don't interact.
I agree. I mean, like, you know, welcome, come in. Anyone who comes to a shir, whatever, come on in, have Shabbos, come to my house, but I'm just not coming to yours.
Okay. You're not going to get any of this. Okay. Gudivre hakadoshi hilikimikamar hanal vade mitzvah lekarvan. You have to be mekarev them. Gudivre harambam behilchot mamrim. Remember the Rambam behilchot mamrim that I read to you was the Rambam about tinek shenishba. Shabanim shel porshim mihatzibur. The children of those people who deviate kamo shel akaraim debneihem kvanit galu b'lushalo b'ruach haTorah. If you were raised without the spirit of Torah, einam michlal lachaka. You should not push them away. Adraba mitzvah lekarvam ein sham. Al kain, therefore, doreinu zeh. this generation, Vadai de Chavibim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are without a doubt loved by God. V'itkarvu be'et ha-ge'ula b'mheira b'yameinu amein. Okay, and he, they will shall become close. V'chein anu, einenu b'sha'im l'rachkam. We are not permitted to push them away. Adarabah, quite the opposite. M'chuyavim anu l'karvam ka'et. Acha kol elu hatzarot shigi'unu mitokev ha-galut sh'avran l'mashanim ha-lel. We must bring them closer. V'gam v'sha'i Yisrael lo paltu mi-ha-galut. Even those evil ones, they did not escape from the galut. V'gam heim savlu ba'ad shekunu b'shem Yisrael. They also suffered for being called members of Jew, of Israel. Ukvar nitrachech, this is, he says something very controversial. Tell me if you agree with this. Ukvar nitrachech libavam, their hearts have become softened. Ve'kiru ki sheker hinchil lehem avotam b'ha'reformam. Right, they have been inherited falseness in their reformness. Shin higu lehem avotam v'idar shalafaneinu. Uma'od hayushavim eleinu b'chol levavam. They really want to return to us. Ela sha'abdu aderech, but they lost their way. Shikvar nikrakru meitanu. They have become foreign from us. Bevadai mechuyavim anu liten yadeinu lahem. Would you agree with that? That is what he says. He says, well, most people,
now that they're like in the black and white of the concentration camps, they realize that that didn't help to be close to the goyim. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know what he's trying to say. I think he's trying to say that if left to their own devices, now after seeing what happened to all the Jews from the Nazis, now they're like softened and they really would come back if they knew how. Do you agree with that? It's very hard to accept.
I do.
You yeah. do?
I don't think
no atheists and toxins.
I don't think we do enough to. I think the reform.
Did most people turn away from God in the Holocaust? I mean, the very few who stayed.
But why?
After.
Why would you?
After.
During.
Wouldn't you ask yourself the question?
What?
I mean, we ask ourselves the question now, how could something like that happen?
Right.
If you're in the middle of it, is that much more intense?
Yeah.
How can I really stand here and watch everybody just perish around
and
me?
And you'll forgive and me. Then, don't, please don't don't paraphrase me out of context on the internet. But a person could theoretically take the exact opposite approach and
of
say,
course they could,
how possibly could I believe in a God that would allow this to happen to his chosen people?
Exactly.
That's what he's saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm saying both sides.
Well, so therefore?
Isn't that the point you're making?
I'm confused.
I think,
no, he's saying,
at the moment of truth,
people want to return to God.
That's okay, true. But that's not the moment of truth. You think that's the moment
That's what he's saying is the moment of truth.
Well, when you
after all these sarot, their heart, the sarot softened their hearts and made them want to do tshuva.
Yeah, I mean, on your deathbed.
I don't see it. I've been at deathbeds and I don't see it.
I think it's after.
You do? You've been there?
I don't know.
Excuse me. You've been there, right? They don't turn to you and say, "Oh, I really should have, put on a pair of tefillin." Do they?
I think it's supposed to be different. He's not talking about the people.
And they know who you are. They know what you are.
No, they don't say it to me. But I mean, people say like, I think almost. I don't know if this is a fair comparison because maybe it's not as strongly held. It requires less belief.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, every single patient that I have, this I do see, admits the folly of the fact they were smoking. I mean, again, it's like similar.
That's a hobby. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're talking about the people who are not tattooed.
Right.
Who realize that it didn't help me to be able to be out there and not part of the fold, even if it wasn't the religious fold, but at least part of the.
Will you agree? Ma'od hayu shavim elin b'chol
levavam. I don't agree with that.
They would return Allah sha'ovdu aderech, and if we only show them the way, then they'll return. That's what he believed.
Except for people that are really.
Do you believe that's true?
What?
Do you believe?
Clearly not.
Movement.
I think that. What?
The Chabad movement.
Of course, they reach out to a lot of people.
They don't reach out to a lot. They miss so many. I mean, not. I'm not knocking
them. I don't understand.
The majority of Jews aren't recovering people. The majority from Jews aren't spending their time.
Are you telling me that there's a Jew out there that if he was remotely interested in Judaism, there isn't information today at his fingertips in order
to find out? Yeah, but that's different.
Really?
It's just like there's like weight loss.
Really? Do you know how to play piano? Yeah.
Right, and how many people try at least?
Very few.
Do you have to play piano? Do you know how to speak French or Spanish? It's all out there.
If I wanted to.
Really? Do you not want to? Would you not? You know, in an ideal way? You should turn out time. You've got other things to do.
Spanish? No, why don't we say that?
Whatever.
You're not talking about playing piano with any Spanish.
All
you're talking about the essence of your...
Skiing, jumping out there.
The essence, the essence of your being. Who are you? Your identity.
Okay, this is,
Life's what happens when you're busy making other plans.
What?
Life's what happens when you're busy when you're making other plans. Like, and people are busy doing their own thing. Like,
That's exactly what the reform movement has done. It saw people who were lost and not being helped, so they opened the doors. You're welcome. Come on in.
Well, no, not at all. They haven't done that as a Pashkafic outlook.
No, I disagree.
I want to be Jewish.
Not to go out and find a Makarim.
No.
Get members.
We're here. Like you said.
They believe in their ideology. They service the Jewish people.
You want to be Jewish, you don't want a lot of commitment.
Okay.
Here we are.
Skip the pay off, because as per your vote, we're not going to do every single detail that he goes into to prove his point.
Public engagement.
Suffice it to say that if you're interested, he proves his point on a number of different ways.
Capital required.
Ukedvarim Eilu, pay Aleph at the top.
That's the same idea.
Yatsu mi pi Rabbeinu Ishel Mekadosh Marana Yisachar Do mi Bels. Rabbi Yisachar Do mi Bels, the Admor mi Bels, said the exact same thing. When Mishnah Taf Reish Ayin Dalid, which is the year?
Tirad.
It's almost 100 years ago. 19, we're in Taf Reish Ayin, we're Taf Shin Ayin Aleph. 97 years ago. Okay? Kishapartza Milchemesh Nikrait Milchemet Olam Rishona. Very good, during the First World War. Hu Barach Me Mishkan Vodom Nimlat Le'ir Retzpert. What's it in English? Are you there? Are you following English?
Yeah.
He ran to the city of?
Rutsfort.
Asher Be'eretz Hagar, which is where?
Hungary.
Oh, thanks. Ube'et hazot haita od yeshivati b'kahal kadosh Busermin.
Busermin.
Okay. Asher hayu ir kovar le Rutsfort. See, he said, my yeshiva was there.
What?
Rutsfort. V'kiyumat kol meshach higarutosh shel Rabbeinu Zal, hayiti sochech ve'evratel. This is very common, by the way. They would have Rabbanim who would go to a place, and when the Rav was in the place, people would just like flock there. You know, hang out. You know, and he would hold court. So he says, well, as long as I was like, you know, probably the next...
Because you couldn't download Shirin.
Probably. And the next shtetl. You know what I'm saying? And the Rav came. That was a thing.
Sadek Balayir.
Right? You go. Okay?
It's not you download Shirin. People still flock to Major Gadolim when they come to a town.
Yeah. It's not as much. Not as much because they say, listen, I miss the Shir. I can always pick it up later.
Yeah.
Not for Shir, for just touching his hand. For Kesha, for...
It's not the same way, though.
I was very close to them. I was very close. So he was close to, at the time, the Belzer Rebbe. Which tells you something, by the way. Not everybody who wants to go hang out with the Belzer Rebbe gets to go hang out. Okay, so he's a very miyuchas person. He said, I used to be involved to help his family out. You know, I helped him out. And they all flocked to see him. But one day, there was a kibbutz gadol mechachmei ha'medina, shehayita oz medina gadola in gedolei Torah ge'onei dor v'zekenei ador. A huge flock of people came, and they were all a bunch of gedolim there. Gedolei ha'medina kedoshel yonim ha'shiyoshvin lefanav, like big giants of Hungary. U'barsham haya hay sabek hadisha shashana yuchlim reina Rav Moshe dov Teitelbaum av bezin kadosh mi'adir lafush be... What is it? Adir lafush in... Zevenbergen. Meaning, the reason also you have to read this, Rav Teichtal was like in. He was in, and he knew all these people, and he's machshir them. It's really important to understand to what degree he was a member of that world. Right, I used to hang out with this guy, and there this Rebbe came, and I would hang out with them, and he was the grandson of this guy. No, okay, v'haya dabron v'darshan nifli. He was a speaker. V'arach v'ta'an nifnei Rabbeinu Mibelz. He said the following. I mean, they had like whole like you know like debates. Heyot sh'avad eisal shuvim b'tzakim at mechol ha'olam. Since everything's so bad for the Jews, v'atzarot tikifot utchufot abe me'or. Things are bad and getting worse. V'ein trufa lemakot yisrael zulat im yitoveru kulam yachad. Kol Klai Yisrael the tshuva, we can solve the problem right here and now. How? If all the Jews do tshuva, we'll be good. Was anybody in shul when that Rav came? Were you in the shul last week? Oh, some Rav came, he has a yeshiva, a nechalot, I think it was, and he wrote this book. And he said, we can solve all the problems of Israel if everybody just does tshuva and learns Torah. Yeah, that's it. Okay. If I am in a raishit tenua, zo, this movement, Al hitarerut ha-tshuva, tzedei midei tzadik ha-dor kamoto. Right? Who should start the worldwide mass repentance movement? The tzadik ha-dor. Bevadai tifal ha-dor la-shiva dibam, levinu shiva shemayim. You should, Rebbe, you should make everybody do tshuva. Ubazei ha-sigut ha-yeshuva shemamtinim la-kol kla-yisrael. And then they will have this whole salvation. If all you have to do is get everybody to repent and be chosen a tshuva.
Just one chance.
Tells the Rebbe. That's it.
Why is that a novel idea?
Kota on the van of kimat sha'a shlema. He was talking about this for an hour. Hacking him away. He teamed the Rebbe to amim to kimin flaim. Gives him all these beautiful proofs. Shirak alamu tal chose. Isn't it very nice, by the way? I come and I say, Aaron, you've got to make the whole world do tshuva. Oh, and you're the best guy to do it. And I'll give you all these reasons why only you can make the world do tshuva. Meaning what?
Not me.
Not me? Okay. Kasher Hishlim is the rabbi. He finally stopped talking. Patach Rabbeinu Piv Kachova Ano Lerak Tshuva Tzara V'chada B'zeh Lashon. And he said the following. Lafush Rov. He said it like that. Right? Rebbe of Lafush.
Lafush.
Zent Ir. I don't know. Do you read Yiddish? I never hear Yiddish. Read it in English.
Have you concluded your petition?
I mean, one second. I'm sorry. Shanfartig mir meaning what? Have you concluded your petition? Is a nice way of saying. He didn't say it like that. He said.
You finished.
Are you done? Okay, go on.
When Mashiach arrives, the Jews will repent. In the meantime, it's of utmost importance that the Jews love one another.
Okay. Tur der Iker is des Juden sollen sich leib haben einer dem anderen. That's my Yiddish. Not so good, but that's pretty good. Okay. That meaning what? He says, interesting, what does he say? He said, when's Mashiach going to come?
When we love each other.
No.
Whenever he comes.
When he comes, but?
In the meantime.
As Mashiach went kumen, vel in Yudin Tshuva. Which is, what does he say?
When Mashiach comes, we'll repent.
When Mashiach comes, we'll do Tshuva. As opposed to?
Beforehand.
Beforehand. Whoa, we're going to come back to
this. Is this true?
We will come back to this. Is this true? Is he lying? Did he make it up?
Do we have to?
You're off the hook.
You're off the hook?
Can we do what we want?
Mashiach, he says, the Jews are the tshuva. Besarach le'ahav afilu le'ish ayoter geru al Yisrael kenafsho. You have to love every Jew. U'la'acher le'vavot. To unite the hearts. U'la'achek kol davar green people le'vavot. And to distance anything that causes separation. ובזאת לויה ישועה שביסה בכל עת צרה. עד כאן דבר בקודם ראשי בחרדת קודש מעמקים לבוא. That's what he said. וכל מה שהבאתי למעלה ממדרש ומשעס ומתנדל בעלייה ומספר הניתים מצוותיך ומחסם סופר. Everything I said to you, all these crazy proofs, נכללים בדבר הכתבים הנעל. אשר, you have to read his language. חותכים כל לב בר ישראל. They cut to the heart of every Jew. אשר מרגיש בצער הדור. If you have any sense of what this generation is going through, what will you do? Stop causing strife. Stop thinking about how bad they are, and it's their fault, and if they would do tshuva, stop it! Do you have a heart? See what's going on? V'yesh lo hagasha amitit ba'avat Yisrael. Everybody preaches Ahavat Yisrael. Right? Oh, I love all Jews, I love all Jews. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to love all Jews. What does that mean? I love them so much that I have to teach them the right way. I have to pound it into them. That's my love for them. Cut it out. What's the word chassid shote? Chassid shote is a very harsh language. Chassid shote is someone who's so frum he's a moron. Right? I mean, you use your frum kite to make you sound like an idiot. Okay? He says, you sound like idiots. You're so frum that what are you doing? You're destroying Klal Yisrael. Am I embellishing? Am I saying overstating what he's saying? I don't think so. L'asot pirud ben ha'umuvuhal le'katreg al Yisrael. You're bringing a kitrug al Yisrael. Can you imagine, like you say, why do I have such vitriol for these Nitori Karta? That's exactly what they're doing. They go to the enemies of Israel, and they give them strength, and they say, go do what you're doing.
Like the people that...
No, not like that. In any way, shape, or form. And they say, we encourage you to build missiles that are pointed at Israel and will kill Jews. It's a good thing. Really? Really? Have you no sense at all of what you're saying? At all? Of the massive Chil Hashem? Have you no sense at all of the damage you're doing?
Bad.
Okay. Bad. Well, so, you know what that is? That's a chassid shote. You think you're saving Klal Yisrael? You six guys or 12 guys, you know better than all the tzaddikim and all the gedolim in the whole world? That's really good. Great shkoyach. Well, also pirud ben hadvekim, and you're making a division between the connected parts. Ma gam be'etz shemidat hadin mitucha al klal Yisrael. This is an important point. We're in a time where there's midat hadin here. So when you're in a time of midat hadin, if somebody says something bad about Jews,
boom.
You know what God says?
All right.
Really? I didn't think about that. Are you nuts? Midat hadin is out there and you're causing more problems? Ve'etzara le'yakov rachmana litzlan. Lo aleinu, eight tzara le'yakov, God forbid. It's a terrible time. How dare you? You have the right to do this. Okay. He says the same thing over and over and over and over again. Okay? So I wanna end it. We've discussed this for a couple of weeks already. So I wanna just we'll skip again to skip to the end of Hey Dali. He gives another proof. Another proof to prove too that even though the Jewish people are not keeping the Torah, nonetheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu loves them all. Okay, we can take that for granted. Okay, one second. Go back to Pei Gimel, the middle of Pei Gimel. Umizeh. See, five lines from the bottom of the paragraph. Mizeh yeh Musar Haskel. From this we should learn a Musar Haskel. Okay? Le'elu ha-mitzaf tzifin. You see where I am? From this we should learn a lesson. Like an important lesson. Le'elu mitzaf tzifin u'mahagin d'var u'midabrim. People who chirp and chatter and speak sara al Yisrael. Afilu yu mi'ahoteh gru'im shem Yisrael. Even if they're bad. They're not great Jews. Asur le'lamed olem chovachas v'shalom. What do you think they are? They're the children of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Okay, we skipped a proof that talks about God says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, pick somebody else. God says, what do you want me to do? They're children of Yitzchak and Yaakov. I'm stuck with them. So who are you to say bad things? Don't forget this. The minute you say bad things about Jewish people, don't think that you're being so firm. I'm protecting the Torah. That's the Satan talking. And it's nothing less. And as far as the division and strife between the Jewish people. He gives a ton of proofs, okay? The Lamed, Yitzchut al Yisrael, Apashash Einim Ruim. And then he says, Mirashir Hashimim, Ubevayikra Rabba. I bet you he wrote them all out, or he thought about writing them all out. Because he skips a whole list. Ub Rashi Sefer HaShoftim, Ub Psachim, Ub Midrash HaNe'elam, Ub Rachaim HaKadosh, Ub Rashi, Ub Radak, V'malbi, V'tanei B'yav, V'ram Mechos Deo, Sefer Tvash L'bi. He knew them all. By the way, he's pretty sick going. Okay? Just list them up. Bam, 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 bam. I can prove you more if you want. Look them up. Okay? V'duk mikol ha'mekomot she'tziyanti. Look at all these proofs that I brought. V'tireh ad heichan magia davar zeh. To what degree this is important? To speak positively about Israel when they are in tzara, when they are in trouble. And the obligation is to dearly love, be'ahavat nefesh, with true love. Even the more degraded Jew. And this merit, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should have compassion and get us out of this pain. Mm-hmm. That's what the Belzer Rebbe said. The Ikur is Desmon Zel Zichlib Haben Einid in Anderen in the Arms Chus Vet Der Ebishter Helfen. I don't even know what that means. He said, Haikashi Avuze. Just love each other. Like each other. Jews should get along with one another. And it's so interesting to what degree, like, you know, Rav Teichel did represent a shift, but also to what degree he was not accepted. And that, you know, I'm not saying anybody is free of this midah of, you know, insularity and saying, we're right, they're wrong. You know what I'm saying? But still, it's still very much accepted in the Jewish world to explain, you know, away other groups that are not like us. And to cause division and people among the Jewish people. It was very much accepted. And he didn't think it was a good idea. Yeah.
My parents said that Rabbi Wein was in the States, the Yom HaTzmaut, they heard him speak, and he said that, you know, Yom HaTzmaut is a wonderful day, but it's also a day of much controversy. You have all the Haredim, the things we shouldn't be celebrating. You have the Chilonim, and they're mad, and the Haredim are not celebrating. Then you have, of course, the religious Zionist group that are saying, we should say halal with the bracha, we shouldn't say halal with the bracha, we should say halal at night, we should say halal in the morning. He said, no one's happy. He said, the only person that's happy is Rav Shalom. He said he was sure that on Yom HaSavut the Rosh Hashanah is happy. He's looking down at Eretz Yisrael, seeing that there are more Jews that are living there than have ever lived there before. More people are learning Torah than have ever learned Torah there before. And he's sure that, that the one person that's happy on Yom HaSavut is the Rosh Hashanah.
Well said.